had your grace notes there, you can follow along. We start a brand new sermon series today, Simple Christmas. You know, I think every now and then we need to slow down and kind of look around and see what's going on in our lives and realize that we need to stop taking things for granted and stop running and rushing so much in our lives. And so today we're going to talk about Simple Christmas. And today is from platitude to gratitude to praise. Platitude, it's just a word that basically means a flat, dull, or trite remark. I put the definition in here for you. Especially one uttered as if it were fresh or profound. You know, it is a season of Advent. We begin the season of Advent, which is kind of a time of expectation, of looking forward to things. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about that we are excited about the birth of Jesus, celebrating the birth of Jesus as we always do. But hopefully, things will change a little bit. I don't know if you saw this or not, but I actually put this out on social media, that there was a report that a lot of folks are kind of not happy about how Black Friday's changed over the last few years, that it kept creeping into Thanksgiving. And so this year, a lot of companies decided they weren't going to be open on Thanksgiving because they felt like that consumerism was taking over our time of rest and thanks and joy. And so several companies just said, you know, we're going to stop this. We're going to stop this, and we're going to stop doing this on Thanksgiving. And so I got to say I'm impressed that it's a response, because basically it said that that's what consumers were saying, what people were saying, is that why are these things open? Why are you enticing people to come out when we just want to spend some time with our family, right? We just want to have a day of rest, a day of Thanksgiving, a day to be thankful. And so hopefully you did. Maybe you spent some time with family and friends. You were able to just kind of rest and find your way again in the world, and you're going to get back to it, right? You're going to get back to it this next week, and I hope and pray that you just don't go back to those same patterns and same cycles of negative or bad behavior, that maybe you'd slow down and say, okay, I'm going to do this holiday right. I'm going to do Christmas right. I'm going to change a few things in my life that need to be changed. And one of them is that we need to be a little bit more generous. We need to be a little bit more caring, and we need to be a little bit more loving, especially during this Advent season as we move toward Christmas. There are people out there hurting and suffering and in great need, and right now, it'd be great if you could invite them to church or be connected to them and let them know that there are Christians in the world, there are people in the world who care about them. But that's really up to you. It's up to you to actually take that step towards somebody else. You see, substance matters in our faith. Substance truly matters in our faith. There's a story about a man named Job in the Bible. We rarely talk about Job, but I thought it'd be a fitting thing to talk about today. And so there's a story in the Bible about a guy named Job, and he's an amazing follower of God. Faithful, kind, loving, generous, blessed by God. And Satan challenges his God and says, your little servant over here, if he didn't have it so good, he'd curse your name, he wouldn't follow you. I mean, he'd just be a bad person. And God says, fine, go ahead and test him. And I want you to know this, that God doesn't test us or tempt us. Satan does that. It's not God trying to challenge you and make you a better person or anything like that. No, the bad stuff that happens in your life, that is not God doing that to you, okay? That is a theological thing we all need to remember. But here we see in Job that God allows Job to be tested by Satan. And so he gets tested. He gets tempted. He gets challenged. And in Job 13:12, we see a response to Job's friends. You see, Job has these friends. We all have friends, right? We all have friends that during tough times, they'll say things to us, things that probably don't line up with the way things should be. It's their opinions. It's their views of the world. That's fine. But every now and then, people say things to us that aren't very helpful, right? They say something to you that you can't fix, you can't change. It kind of stings. Well, Job's response to his friends who aren't very helpful is this. He says, your platitudes are as valuable as ashes. Your defense is as fragile as a clay pot. In other words, when bad stuff happens to you and someone says, well, it's God's will. No, bad stuff is not God's will. It's an awful, fallen, broken world sometimes we live in, and someone's sin sometimes visits your doorstep because of their behavior, right? And so his friends are telling him, Job, the reason this bad stuff's happening to you, they had all these reasons, but one of the best ones they had for him was, you did something wrong. God must be punishing you because you did something wrong. That is not the way Jesus Christ works in the world. That is not the way Christianity is. But how many times have we in our own hearts thought that? Well, I must be having this bad stuff happen to me because I did something wrong. And in the Old Testament, it used to be that if your parents did something wrong, that you would be visited with that sin as well. And his friends were telling him this kind of stuff. And they even said, you know what? Your suffering and pain is so much, just curse God. Just curse God. And then God will just smite you and destroy you and your life will be over and your suffering will be gone. No. That's bad advice. That's terrible advice. Job responds to his friends basically by saying this line from Job 13:12 that you're not helping, guys. Your trite words, your thoughtful ideas that you've given me are not helpful. You know what Job probably really needed, which is what happened in the beginning, is that his friends just came and sat with him in silence. They were just there with him. And sometimes that's more powerful than all of our views, all of our opinions, all of our advice. Sometimes we just need someone to sit with us and be with us during the tough times. Because sometimes there doesn't seem to be any correct answers for the stuff that's going on in your life. And there's not some perfect thing that you can say to someone that'll bring them out of their misery. One of the best things that we can do for people is pray for them during their difficult times. We pray that God will work in their lives, that God will change hearts, God will help them through their tough times. You know, for many of us, sometimes we do just say those trite things. And I'll tell you, I hear them a lot. Pastors, there's some phrases that pastors just do not like. A lot of pastors don't like. Some of them use them, but we just don't like them. One phrase, I guess God needed another angel in heaven when one of our loved ones passes away. Yeah, that's not the way it works, folks. That's not the way it works, okay? But those are things that people say. Or here's another one. Everything happens for a reason. No, it doesn't. Sometimes bad things happen. There is no rhyme or reason to it. There's no ultimate motive behind it that bad things happen because we live in a sinful world and there are people out there who are causing problems all the time. And sometimes stuff comes to our doorstep that is four or five things away from the person who started it. That's awful. You know what matters? Our faith. Every response to suffering and struggle in this world should be met with faith, not opinions, not ideas, no, with faith. You see, Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. On faith, we do a lot of things in this world, right? We trust in the Lord. We trust that God is with us. He's going to show us the right path. Doesn't mean life is perfect. It doesn't mean life is easy. What it means is hopefully if we keep our eyes on Him, things will tend to work out in God's favor, which is in our favor, right? If we keep our eyes on Jesus, life works out in God's favor, and that means our favor. It's when we take our eyes off the Lord when it seems to cause some problems. We have some difficulties. So I want to tell you a quick story. One of the things that many of you have gone through in your life probably, and many of you are going to be going through soon, is helping teach your kid to ride a bike. Yes? Amen? Yeah. And so when you start out with your kids, they have training wheels. Yes? Yeah. And training wheels are supposed to keep your kids safe. Do they keep your kids safe? No. Not my kid. No way. I can't tell you how many times Jonathan's wrecked his bike. And you know, he just drives really fast and just thinks he's safe and he's perfect. He's got his helmet on and he just goes and crashes. And his first response usually is, I'm okay, Dad, because he knows I'm going to be nervous and worried about it. I'm okay, Dad. And if he's not okay, he starts crying. I mean, I very quickly know something's wrong. But what I've noticed is the times that he crashes his bike is when he's not paying attention to where he's going. You ever notice that? In fact, when we're riding together, he likes to look at my feet on my bike turning my pedals. You ever seen that? The kids do that? And I'm like, Jonathan, watch where you're going. And he's just sitting there watching me, watching my wheel spin because he thinks it's neat. He does that a lot. And so the other day, we were in the driveway, and he was riding his bike up and down the driveway, and he was doing it again. He was looking around, not paying attention. I said, Jonathan, you're going to crash. You're going to crash. And he's just driving around, and finally, guess what happened? He crashed. Does that make a parent happy when you tell your kid they're going to do something wrong and then they do it and you get to tell them that you were right? I see some shaking heads, yes. Not so much happy, more of a I told you so kind of thing. See, you need to listen to me more. But he was fine. But I tell you, there are so many times that just little situations like that just come up into our lives and they just show us and reveal to us what's going on. You know, God put eyes in the front of our heads. Did you notice this? Like a biological thing, we're supposed to keep looking forward. You can't turn your head all the way around, yeah, unless you're really skilled. You can't do that. And so God wants us looking forward. And I think God wants us looking at Jesus Christ at all times and all places. And if we are able to do that, we can move beyond the platitudes of life. The trite sayings that are meaningless, that have no joy or happiness or love in them, those things that don't really mean anything. Because when we look forward and we look to Christ, we realize this, that we are grateful for blessings in Christ, for the blessings of Christ in our lives. We are. We're grateful. I hope you had a good time at Thanksgiving and that you told people what you were thankful for. I know that every now and then sometimes we forget to do this, but we need to kind of pull back and just be thankful. To think about, man, we're blessed. We are mightily blessed with family, with friends, with church, with a home, with food. Just being able to sit down and have a Thanksgiving meal like we did this last week, whether it be here at our church 2 weeks ago or like you maybe did on Thursday, means that you're probably better off than 70% of the world. Think about that. Like 70% of the world is in poverty and could not host a feast like that. We are mightily and amazingly blessed. You know, God has a plan for every life on earth, every person. It would be great. Every tongue could confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee would bow. Everyone would accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But we have this thing called free will. We have choice. We get to choose whether we're going to follow Jesus or not. And some people choose not to. And there's people out there that have never really heard about the true Jesus. A Jesus of faith, hope, and love, of kindness, of compassion, who cares about each and every one of us and knows that God has an amazing plan for us. We move to a story about Mary, the mother of God. In Luke 1, 28 through 35 through 38, it says, "The angel went to Mary and says, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at these words, wondered, 'What kind of greeting might this be?' But the angel says to her, 'Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord's God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked. 'I'm a virgin.' And the angel says, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God.'" Her response, simple. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Right? Says that she's found favor with God. Right? That means she's blessed by God. Have you found favor with God? I hope you have, right? I want you to think back this last few weeks. Do you feel the favor of God in your life? Do you feel the blessings of God in your life? You should. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should feel the blessing, the favor of God in your life. Let's break this down and describe it. The favor of God, or the blessing of family and friends, right? The favor of God can be seen in any way, at any time, a true blessing to you in your life. Now here comes the platitude, right? Here's my platitude of the favor of God. How many of you got a great parking spot at Walmart the other day, right? Why not, right? Favor of God, right? Now, I actually saw a lady, I'm not kidding, I saw a lady wait for a parking spot at Walmart for 10 minutes straight. She backed up traffic all the way down the row. People were walking up to her and tapping on her window and saying, "Just go around." She was waiting on a car that had two kids, mom and dad loading a minivan with stuff. I could calculate that it was going to take a while. She obviously couldn't. And so people kept walking up there. People were going around her and finding better parking spaces, but she was just intent that that was going to be her parking space. That's not the favor of God, folks. That's being stubborn, right? That's being stubborn, and sometimes you do have to fight for stuff. But think about it. The favor of God in your life. How has God divinely and amazingly blessed you? For many of us, look to the person right next to you, right? Divinely favored and blessed. Look at your family, favored and blessed. Yes, I just scored some points for the guys. Good job. That's when you lean over, give your wife a hug, and go, "Yes, thank you, Pastor." Right? You're welcome. You might need some favor, I don't know. But you need the favor of God in your life. You need to realize it. You need to see it. You need to celebrate it. And then I want you to think about this. Who's somebody in your life right now who doesn't have that favor? Who you just see going down the wrong path because they don't truly have the favor of God in their life? You know, it's really up to each and every one of us to follow through with that and realize, man, I have been blessed. Can I share that blessing with others? Yes, you can. It's up to us to do that. Now, I want you to go back to Job for a second and think about Job's life. Follower of God, blessed by God, lived a pretty good life, but his life was decimated by evil. Evil came into his life and decimated it. And he became just upset, frustrated, almost just unable to respond to what was going on around him. And he had these terrible friends that were not helpful in the midst of his situation. How do you respond to folks that have gone through that? And maybe you've gone through it. Maybe you've gone through it and you can help somebody get through on the other side. But we all know a lot of people like Job in our life. They just don't seem to find the favor of God in their life. Bad things keep happening. And then that bad stuff, guess what? That ends up in your life. And for some of us, instead of realizing that we have the opportunity to witness, to help, to be with someone in tough times, we start thinking we're Job. Nothing good's going to happen to us. The bad stuff's there. And we focus on the bad stuff instead of focusing on Christ. Instead of focusing on what matters in this world, our relationship with Jesus, and realizing that there's a lot of people like Job in the world who don't know Jesus, who don't know what you know, who don't have what you have in your heart and soul. That should compel you right there to go out and share the good news. That should compel us right now to say, you know what? There are some people in my life that don't seem to have the favor of God in their life. What's different about them? They don't believe in Jesus. And then you're going to say, well, I've got some friends who believe in Jesus, but they don't seem to have that favor. And I'll say, okay, they say they believe in Jesus, but what's the rest of their life look like? You know, it's easy. It is so easy to say, I believe. It is. It is so easy. It's tough to go live the life. It's tough to go live that faith. I look at Mary in her response. You know, Mary's told by an angel, hey, by the way, you're going to have a kid. Good luck. God bless you, right? She's like, whoa. I'm married to this guy over here. What do I tell this guy? I mean, honestly, God orchestrated this amazing thing, and we still have free will. She could have said no. She could have said, no, I'm not going to do this. Now, I want you to think about this because you probably think she couldn't say no. She could say no. In the Garden of Eden, they said no to God. All the way up into the time of Jesus, the people of God said, no, we're not going to follow you. We're not going to listen. We're not going to celebrate. We're not going to witness. There were moments in there where a few along the journey of millions of people said yes, but by and large, many of them rejected God's will for their life. They rejected God's will. She had the opportunity to say no, but she didn't. She chose to believe and to follow through with her faith, to follow through with what God's will for her life would be, what God's plan could be for her life. If she said no, God would have found somebody else, but she said yes. And for some of us right now, God's asking us to do something. God's asking us to change. God is asking us to go out and share the good news, to invite people to follow Jesus. What is our response? What is our response? Are we too busy? Do we reject God's will for our lives? Do we reject God's will for somebody else's life because we're scared, we're nervous, we're worried? Well, I don't know about inviting somebody. I don't know about reaching out to somebody. Imagine this, that you could change someone's eternal destination by just inviting. You could change the whole trajectory of someone's life, the whole course of their life, from a life of sin and misery, sadness, and no favor of God, to the hope of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? The power that the Word of God in Jesus can have in somebody else's life. You have it in your life, right? You have it. You've been changed. You know people that have been changed. Why not continue to help change others? One of the best ways to do this, one of the best ways to get out there into the world and do this is to say this, that we praise the Lord. That we praise the Lord. Do you praise the Lord? Do you praise the Lord at all times and all places? Because if you praise the Lord, you celebrate what God is doing in your life and you share that with others. You share that with others. But sadly, there are people out there in the world who say they are Christians, and they probably are, but they celebrate more of the stuff in this world than they do of Jesus. Look at your social media. What are you saying to the world? Look at your calendar. Where are you spending most of your time? In Psalm 150, 1 through 6, it says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary." Amen. We do that. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of a trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with strings and a pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Again, we say, praise the Lord. If you believe in Jesus and you are living a life of praise, then you have found favor with God. You have been mightily and amazingly blessed by God. You've moved from the platitudes that some people have in their faith to being grateful for what God is doing in your life. And once you're grateful, thoughtful, happy, loving person in Christ, guess what happens? You turn into a Christian that praises the Lord. Not just on Sundays, not just when we're singing songs, but you praise the Lord every day. And you praise the Lord in such a mighty and powerful way that other people's lives are significantly transformed. Their lives are changed because of your witness. I hope you praise the Lord for your family, your blessings that God has given you, your family, your friends, for the blessing of work in this world, for the blessing of church in this world, that you would praise God for all the things that have happened in your life that have led you to this place today to hear this message and say to you that God has blessed you. God has blessed you so much. Now it's your turn to go bless somebody else. It's your turn to go offer God's favor to someone else. Can we do that? Can we move from platitudes to gratitude to praise? If you can do that, then you can change the world. You can change people's lives. I'm going to encourage you to be praise-filled Christians every day, especially during this season of Advent and to some extent season of consumerism out there. Get out there and be that light. Be that love. Be that compassion. And for goodness sakes, be the hope of Christmas. Be the hope of Christmas for those who are far from God who do not know Jesus. You never know when God is working in someone else's life. You never know what God has led up to this in their lives to have a conversation with you about Jesus. Don't be afraid. Don't be worried. God is with us. That conversation that you've been worried about, God has already led them up to that point. And now it's time for you to act, to have a faith that will follow through, just like Mary, just like Job, trusting fully in the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, help each and every one of us keep our eyes on Christ. Let us remain focused on what God's will is for our lives, knowing that God has a plan for everyone, that God's will would be that everyone would accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But Lord, we know that we have free will. Let our example, let our witness in such a powerful way reach out to those who are far from you. Let the joy and the hope and the love and the peace of this season be evident in every word and every deed in our lives. It's in Jesus Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.